It's now our privilege to turn the meeting over to Brother Christy. He's chosen a very appropriate subject for the season. His subject is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Brother Christy, Lord bless your service.
Thank you, Brother Tom. Please let me know if I come good with my sound.
You sound good.
Thank you. Peace of the Lord, dear brethren. Shalom. I want to thank the Heavenly Father for this new and renewed opportunity to meet together in peace and quietness. And as it was given thanks in the prayer, we are so thankful for the technology that we have, that we can meet even in this time through these blessed tools that can be used for our edification. I want to share with the brethren that these thoughts, this presentation, they've been on my heart for a while in regards to Thanksgiving and thankfulness. And it is because I think that one of our marks, so to speak, or one of our very strong pillars that show us where we are in our development, Christian development, is thankfulness and thanksgiving. That really shows us the level of development as a Christian character, the level of our closeness towards our God. I think that a mature Christian is a Christian that's always thankful. And that's an ideal, and I will present these thoughts from this viewpoint, looking at the blessedness of walking with our Lord on the narrow way in a thankful and thanksgiving spirit. I will not have a PowerPoint presentations because I was looking at a lot of scriptures, and as most of the brethren are very, very familiar with the scriptures, I will quote a few of them. I will paraphrase some of them, but hopefully you'll be able to follow this meditation, this study. So even if you want to turn your camera off or not to see and just to listen, just like towards, like almost like a radio broadcasting, that will be good. By the Lord's grace, we will look at the thankfulness in the Bible, the thankfulness that we are encouraged to have in our hearts and thanksgiving. We will look what difference does this make in our Christian life. And we will look and observe how eventually in the kingdom of God, the entire world will bring thankfulness and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father. So, I think as we meditate every year, especially in the United States, during this season of the year of thankfulness and what we are thankful for, I was thinking, why do we do this as a family? And I'm talking here about myself, just once a year. I think this should be something that it's done I would say every day. Now, should it be done as it's done around a dinner table? That's up to everyone to decide. But I think what's most important is for the ones around us, starting with the family, which they know us best, and everybody else, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends. I was wondering if they see me as a thankful person, because we have so many things to be thankful for. So we will start with a few scriptures, because when we speak, we should speak the word of God, and that is the only one that remains forever. I will read a few scriptures that you are very familiar with, and then we'll move forward. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Then we go in Revelation 5:11, and we see that beautiful image. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. What a wonderful image of complete and pure thankfulness into the heavens. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we read, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And one chapter earlier in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, we read, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." So if we combine these two scriptures from Thessalonians 4:3 and 5:18, we might conclude or we might say that the sanctification is taking place through the giving of thanks in everything. So the process of sanctification is taking place through the giving of thanks in everything. What does this truly mean? I think we understand by the Lord's grace and by through his Holy Spirit that the process of sanctification, it's a very complex process. But thankfulness, it's something that's visible, something that's external, something that the ones around us should be able to recognize sooner rather than later. Of course, God is looking at our hearts and he recognizes our spirit. He recognizes our attitude, but it's also important to have this spirit of thankfulness and thanksgiving into our lives so others might recognize it. The big question for us is, do we bring thanks in everything and everything in our lives? We will go and look just briefly at the definition of thanksgiving as we find it in some of the dictionaries. Thanksgiving, we find, is the act of giving thanks. It's also grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. Thanksgiving, it's also considered a prayer expressing gratitude and a public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. I was looking because I saw a title in one of the papers that with so many people not believing in God anymore or not really professing Christian faith, what is America thankful for this year, 2020? And it was really, the author was trying quite hard to bring some positive aspects of the year past. And I was thinking, how much more grateful we are knowing what we know from the Word of God and how thankful we are in a way in the midst of this tumult and in the midst of this truly, I would say, big problems that the world never experienced at this level and intensity. Not that there were no trouble, not that there were not I would say worse, but the complexity and the I would say even the confusion of the information and situation is so great that many people, we're talking the people in the world, find not a lot of reasons and motives to bring Thanksgiving. And not believing in a God, what would you be thankful for? And I was thinking how wonderful blessings we have and how wonderful is our situation with our Heavenly Father, that we were blessed with the gift of faith. But does this bring a responsibility towards us? I think it does. We will look here at the fact that the apostles, and our Lord, when they admonish us to live a life of thanksgiving and thankfulness, they tell us that this is a separation from the old ways. It's a separation from the human nature, which I think we all recognize. I do that talking to myself the very first time when I say anything that I present here as some thoughts, that the tendency, my personal tendency, is not to be thankful. The human nature's tendency is to complain. It is to grumble. It is to really ungrateful at times. So I would ask these questions that might help us into looking into this subject. And I'm looking into this subject in regards to the fact that we are all striving to be pleasant to our God and Heavenly Father. And we know that more we are Christ-like, more we will bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. And we want to have this in our lives. How do we know if someone is thankful? And here's where I miss the most meeting in person with the brethren, because I prefer to have sharing the thoughts from the scripture with the brethren in person, so it's somewhat interactive. So I will try to have a small conversation with myself. So how do we know if someone is thankful? Can we know just by looking at someone or not? It's easy sometimes to confuse someone that has joy with someone thankful, though we might say that someone joyful that has some thankfulness in the heart for one thing or for another. Does it have to be a loud expression, thankfulness or not? Think of someone, some of the brothers or sisters or anyone in your life that you will define as a very thankful person. And think, why do you think they're always thankful? What characteristics you notice? And now think if you yourself are thankful. Another question would be, do others see the fact that you are thankful? So let's say I say I'm very thankful for so many things to our Heavenly Father. I'm thankful to my family. I'm thankful to the brethren. I'm thankful to my coworkers. I'm thankful to the place where I am. I'm thankful for the meetings that are taking place. I'm thankful for the studies that I have. Do others see that? Do they know that you are thankful? And another question that's really a very strong question for me is, would your friends describe you as a thankful personality? So we will look now, and I would read a few hopefully I will not go fast, but I would like to share this with the brethren. As we read some from the book of Revelation, one of the purposes of the book of Revelation is to portray to us what heaven is like, at least the atmosphere in heaven. There's no grumping in heaven. There's no complaining, no murmuring, no unbelief. It is only pure praise and worship. We, as new creatures, are on a journey from the life on this earth to a heavenly life as a growth, as a development. One way to discover if we are making progress along this path is by asking ourselves if there is a little more spirit of thanksgiving and praise in our life as each year goes by, because the whole world is full of murmuring and complaining. In the midst of this world, God has placed us with a purpose. We see in the Old Testament, and I'm just gonna remind, because this subject is so broad, but many, many times in the Old Testament, we find that the peace or the thanksgiving offerings, it's very interesting that the peace offering is also translated as a thanksgiving offering. It comes mostly from the word shalem, which is with the same root with the word shalom, which we know very well, that it means peace. And then we know the city of peace, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. So we could even say the city of thanksgiving. It's very, very interesting. But most of the peace offerings were offered at the same time with the burnt offerings. We find in 1 Chronicles 16, and we will not go there, when the order of the temple is arranged and they have thanksgiving or peace offerings, burnt offerings, and they have also for the Levites, they have entire songs of thanksgiving that they were singing all the time in the temple. And we have that renewed by Nehemiah when we read in chapter 12, they bring the peace offerings and the thanks offerings, and they Nehemiah, he reestablished the Levitical priesthood and the Aaronic priesthood and the Levitical service in the temple. So we see the importance of this. And when we're looking and we make the parallel with the fact that by the grace of God, we've been called to be a people or a nation of priests, of spiritual priests, I think this worship and praise and thanksgiving should be a major mark or a major seal of our Christian walk with God. And seeing this beautiful image of the atmosphere in heaven should encourage us to have this as much as we can in our lives, even on this side of the veil. So this is one of the foretastes of our walk with God and of being, so to speak, as Apostle Paul says, in the heavenly places. In Philippians 2:14-15, we read very familiar scriptures. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So we see here that it's very clear that once we strive to reach this blessed state of thankfulness, which is a progressive state, and thanksgiving, the human nature, the flesh, will try and gravitates towards what it is, because we are made out of dust, and it gravitates towards the earth, towards the dust. The spirit, being children of God, gravitates towards the heaven, and there is this continual fight, continual enmity between the flesh and the spirit. And this is why the apostle Paul and other apostles, as we will see, and men of God, encourage us to do all things without grumbling or disputing. Imagine such a life. Imagine what our home would be without grumbling, without murmuring or complaining. We should strive to live as such. It is a sad thing to see that being Christians for many years, yet there is grumbling and complaining and even disputing in our lives. And this is not the saddest thing. The saddest thing is if we are not disturbed by these grumblings. Everyone and everybody falls into sin. The important thing is what is our attitude when we fall. That determines if we are going to be free from it by the Lord's grace. The ones that feel sorrow and regret the sin committed for everything that they've done and they repent are the ones that make progress. The ones that take it casually and say, we are all humans, it happens to everyone, there is not going to be any progress at that point. So when we see this admonition, do all things so that you will prove that you are a child of God, it is a very sobering thought that pushes us towards an absolute but necessary growth and toward constant correction and development in our Christian lives if we want to be Christ-like. Our Lord's promise in John 6:37 is that he will not cast away anyone that comes to him. By faith and consecration, we are accepted into Christ. We have to believe and be sure that we are Christ's and that we have the Holy Spirit. Without this testimony, there cannot be growth in the fruits of the Spirit and development of the new creature. One of the proofs that we are on the path of growth is doing things in our life without grumbling and complaining. From the context of this scripture, we understand that this world is a crooked generation also because of grumbling, murmuring, and complaining about one thing or another. So we know that the whole world is full of darkness, and we know that everyone around us, or almost everyone, is complaining about either work or government or prices or relatives or health or even the weather. It never ceases. And in the midst of this generation, it says, in this context, that you shine like lights. Take time and meditate upon these scriptures and take it to heart and see if you personally are a light into this world. In this aspect, of course, there are so many aspects in the midst of this generation, but in the aspects of grumbling and murmuring and complaining, are we a light into this world? That someone will look at us and say, oh, I have a colleague, I have a friend, I have a neighbor that never, ever complains or murmurs. Everything he does it in thankfulness. I think that would be a huge mark, because when we look at our Lord Jesus, I don't think that personally reading through the Gospels, we would say, well, our Lord Jesus was a grumbler, or we find him cleaning the temple. But because he was so upset with the fact that the nation of Israel, who was supposed to be holy, especially to keep the temple holy, they made that a house of business and a house of dishonesty instead of making it a house of prayer as it was intended. But we look at our Lord's life, and I think that every single one could see that he was so thankful. And one indication is, I don't think that little children would go to someone that's not thankful or joyful and at peace. Because one of the signs of thankfulness is that the respective person is at peace with the Heavenly Father and is at peace with himself. This grumbling that we are going back into this generation that we, apostle says we are living, this grumbling can be external or it can be internal. And that's what, where we have to look with sincerity and desire to live as for the Lord and to live as light bearers. I don't want to be a Christian just on Sunday when I praise the Lord, and in the rest of the week, I always complain and grumble. If we do that, we are hypocrites and we deceive ourselves. The whole world is full of darkness. We read in Isaiah 9:2. And imagine that God is looking from the heavens and sees this world that is buried in sin, but also it's buried in complaining and grumbling. And it's dark from the slums to the homes of the billionaires. Everyone is complaining. And he's looking from the heavens. And after a while, he sees here and there a little house without bitterness, without grumbles, shining a bright light of thanksgiving and thankfulness. And then he keeps looking, and a few miles, or maybe hundreds of miles or thousands of miles away, he sees another lighted house filled with joyfulness and thanksgiving and thankfulness. Here is a brother. Here is a sister. Here is a child of God. Can you imagine the joy that these lights bring to the Heavenly Father? If we want to bring thanks in everything to what God did for us through our Lord Jesus and to bring him honor, how can we show him gratitude? We can all pray, Lord, I want to be a light in this world for you. I want to be one from whose mouth and from whose spirit will never come anything of grumbling or complaining, because I believe in a loving Father who gave his most precious Son for me and all mankind, and who makes all things perfect in all his wisdom. Even if I don't understand and see all his ways, but I trust that he makes everything work together for good. He will bring the kingdom of blessing for all. This is such an important habit to acquire, to pray to God for this help, and to pray and have this desire in our being constantly of being thanksgiving and thankful. It is an act of faith not to complain. Again, so it is an act of faith not to complain, brethren, because it shows that we believe that God knows it best. This can be done only through the power of the Holy Spirit after the cleansing provided by our Lord Jesus through the blood of his sacrifice. We remember then in the Old Testament, the priests, the Levites, were supposed to cleanse themselves first before bringing any sacrifice, any peace offerings, any burnt offerings, any of their offerings to the Heavenly Father, to their God, Yahweh. And we have the relationship as a Heavenly Father. But again, we are supposed to clean ourselves before we do that. And we are clean through the water at the baptism. And we are clean by being called as children of God. Therefore, we can bring these offerings of thanksgiving to the Heavenly Father. God's plan makes us a better person, but we still have these sentiments, and it's actually important for us to realize that there is a fight that we have to fight against our human tendency. If we know God's plan and his character, and we still grumble and complain, are we truly walking into the light provided by his word? When the Holy Spirit comes, he helps us to continue cleaning day by day, year by year. We will stop now and we will have a hymn, after which we will return to read quite a few more scriptures from the Bible and to see some of the aspects that we can be thankful and we should be thankful in our lives. So, Brother Tom, if you can put the hymn. Thank you, Brother Tom. Thank you. So in the sentiment of this wonderful hymn, how thankful we are that we have entrance to the mercy seat, that we might find the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all the sins, that we might continue our standings as sons with God. I hope you can hear me well. I had some microphone problems, but hopefully you can all hear me well. We will go to some of the scriptures now and to just point a few things that we as new creatures are thankful for. And hopefully we would be able to take this in our hearts and share with others and let it come through our whole being so we might reflect the beauty of God's word and the light that's within us through the Holy Spirit. So things and truths that we are thankful for by the Lord's grace. We are thankful to God, the Heavenly Father, and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the Logos. How thankful, we cannot express this thankfulness enough in our every part of our lives. We are thankful and rejoicing for God's word. From the word, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we know about God's character and his wonderful plan of salvation. Do we study and apply it so we can be sanctified through the word, as John, the Gospel of John, is telling us in 17:17. which we all know by heart. In Psalm 119, verse 60, we have a wonderful scripture. And again, brethren, I'm really sorry for not putting this in a PowerPoint presentation. Psalm 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. Verse 162 says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. We can all find so many wonderful scriptures that speak about the beauty of the word of God. But even more than that, when we take the word of God in our hearts and in our lives, and we find that it gives us comfort and guidance and encouragement, we can truly say that we love and we are thankful to the Heavenly Father for this wonderful thing, the Word of God. And we have it so handy. So many generations of Christians for hundreds and hundreds of years, they did not have access to the Bible. And we have it so convenient on our hands, on our phones, on our computers, in print. Do we take advantage of this wonderful blessing, the Word of God? Verse 172 in the same Psalm 119 says, let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Another point that we should be thankful for, and we should express it, it's to be thankful for the people of God and his natural and spiritual Israel. And we can read in Hebrews 11 about the heroes of the faith. We can look around us. We can look throughout the gospel age at what we have, at the heroes of the faith and the heroes of the true gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we read a wonderful scripture. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. That was 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Another point where we can show our thankfulness and appreciation is to be, of course, for the redemption that's in our Lord Jesus Christ, for the adoption and for the salvation. A beautiful expression of this thankfulness is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, that are very well known by our brethren. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So we see this attitude of thankfulness to the Heavenly Father, and we have to show it around us. But we have to continue, because if we do this, and when we look in the gospel, in the epistle of Peter and the epistles of Brother Paul, Apostle Paul, we see that they have a very thankful attitude behind all the writings and behind their advices to the brethren, of course, to the Holy Spirit. And the apostle continues here, the apostle Peter continues here in 1 Peter chapter 1, and he continues how these admonitions towards thankfulness and towards this joy and towards the salvation of our souls are supposed to be done. He gives us some advice that's very, very appropriate at this time. Verses 13 through 25. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And the apostle continues, and he shows us that if we have purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigning love of the brethren, we have to love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So here the apostle really says that the new creature, being born of the Holy Spirit, is the only one that can give and bring continual thanksgiving and live a life of thankfulness in this corruptible seed or corruptible body, because the corruptible body wants to complain, and it might have reasons to complain, but when we look at the sacrifice that our Lord put for us, at our adoption of children of God into the house of God, we can see that the Spirit, the new creature, has reasons only for thanksgiving and for thankfulness, if we truly believe that all things work together for the benefit of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. So 1 Peter 2:1. So after this wonderful, I would say dissertation, but wonderful discourse and advice from the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he starts, and we know they had no chapters back then. He states something very, very important. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings. So he shows us that we have to go onward with strengthening the new creature and staying close to our Lord in order to lay aside all these tendencies, all this gravitational force that's drawing us towards the dust. Another point where we might be thankful, and I think we are all realizing what is happening around us through the word of prophecy. Are we thankful in this day and age for what we see that it's happening? Though sometimes we do not understand everything that is happening, we might not have the full information. But let's read in Revelation 11, 15 through 19. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came. And the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bond servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroyed the earth. And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was open, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. But as we see here, if we believe that the seven angels sounded, and if we believe that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever, are we saying with God's people and with God's holy ones, we give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are, and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign? Are we thankful for this aspect that we see happening under our own eyes? We will just look at another aspect of reasons for thankfulness and for thanksgiving, and then we will come to a conclusion. Are we really thankful and expressing our thankfulness that through the gift of faith, we believe and wait for the blessed time when the whole humanity will praise the Heavenly Father? You know, the word gospel means good news. People, friends, everyone should know us as bearers of good news. The angel said to the shepherds, behold, and to Mary, behold, I bring you good news, when our Lord was born on this earth. That will be unto all people. Are we really thankful, and do we express this thankfulness? And the expression of this thankfulness will be through the preaching of the gospel, in words, in doings, in living. In Psalm 117, we read, the shortest psalm in the Bible, praise the Lord, all nations, laud him, all peoples, for his loving kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 50, verse 14, we read, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Verse 23 from the same Psalm 50 says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. So, dear brethren, it is my desire, my heart's desire, to be more thankful, to be more thanksgiving, to be indeed more Christ-like in words and thoughts, and especially in doings, because we want to praise our Heavenly Father, and praising our Heavenly Father in word and with songs and with hymns and with psalms, as we are advised to speak among ourselves, is one of the most wonderful ways to praise the Heavenly Father. And when we read in the book of Revelation that we shall praise him forevermore, I think more and closer we get to our Heavenly Father, and more we know our Heavenly Father, more we realize his love, and more thanksgiving, I think eternal thanksgiving, will be given and brought to him, because we will never reach the depth of his love. That's why we read, and it's so wonderful, that love shall never end. So I will conclude with this thought. How do we show our thankfulness to God in the best way? I think that we might say that by loving him with all our might, with all our heart, with all our being, and loving our neighbor as yourself. In John 14, 21 and 23, we read a wonderful scripture. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And in 23 we read, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. If our Lord and our Heavenly Father are living with us in our homes, we can see that there will be a house of thankfulness, a house of thanksgiving. I think there will be a house of the purest light that will shine in any darkness, no matter how dark the darkness is. So I will conclude with Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May the Lord bless us and help us in bringing him thankfulness and thanksgiving, and may he overrule anything said, done. Amen.